Thank you. Kingdom aspirations. Kingdom aspirations. Matthew 6:33. Leon quoted that verse of scripture for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things. Everything that you and I need, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, God in his providence has provided through his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 8, it says, and has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Life and godliness. So when we look at this chapter 7 today out of Matthew, and you can take your Bibles and turn there with me, please, because we're going to read the whole chapter, and I'm going to ask you to stand now as we read this chapter together. Matthew chapter 7. You read it along with me out of your copy of God's Word. If you do not have one, there's one there on the back of the pew. Stand with me again, please. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and lacerate or rend you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Of what man is there of you? Whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. Therefore, all things, whatever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and the broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be who go in there. Because narrow or straight is the gate, and hard is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, of figs, of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth bad or evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth good fruit, bad, evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. May our Heavenly Father bless and honor the reading of His Word to our hearts and lives today. Bow with me in prayer, please. Father, we come into Your awesome presence. You're God, You're sovereign, You're holy, You're just, You're righteous, You're altogether lovely. You're God of all grace and all truth. You're God, Father, of our salvation, our past, our present, our future. You're our Creator, and You created us in Your image and in Your likeness. You breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. Father, You have the greatest plan for our lives. So much so that You would send Your only begotten Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and He would come and live among men. At the age of approximately 33, He would go to a cross and willingly lay down His life and shed His precious blood that we might be cleansed and forgiven of all of our sins. But not only, Father, that we might be delivered from the power and the penalty of sin, but one day we wish we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. Father, I thank You. I thank You that in Jesus Christ we have hope. In the world we will have tribulation, but have no fear, He said. I have overcome the world. So there's nothing today to fear. We do not live in a spirit of fear because You have not given us a spirit of fear. We live in the spirit of the power of Christ and in His name, the authority that has been given to us. And because of that, we stand upon Your inerrant and infallible Word, which is truth, always truth, without any mixture of error. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot, one tittle, the smallest of punctuation marks in Your Word shall ever be removed. Your Word is forever settled in heaven, Father. You have spoken Your Word. May we, as people of faith, begin to stand authoritatively on Your Word, asking You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to honor Your Word in every issue that we face in life, in every situation that we find ourselves. In particular, Father, our nation today, God, would You let each of us draw a circle around us and get in that circle, as Gypsy Smith said. May we not move until revival comes in that circle where we stand. God, may it begin to spread like wildfire across this nation and to the world, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to every person that will believe. God, I pray this morning that Your Word will become alive to Your people here at Dutch Fork and to all of our guests, Father, whom we are so privileged to have with us today, and thank You for their presence with us. Bless them especially. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. First slide. Be careful what you say. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Well, well, well. Judge not. I get this passage of Scripture sometimes as a pastor. It comes to me and people will have conversation with me about it, and I try to the best of my ability and understanding and being faithful to the Scripture, I try to share them the whole truth of this passage of Scripture. What is Jesus addressing here in this first section of Matthew chapter 7, that we might be individuals that become kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused, and that we might aspire to be Christ-like? The issue of the first few verses here is in the issue of a person's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question here this morning. Can any of us seriously look into the heart of another individual and determine whether that person is lost or saved? No, we cannot. You see, God is the judge of us all. And God has judged you and I that have received Christ, that have repented of our sins and turned to Him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has judged us already in Christ for our salvation. Now we will be judged according to our works, the Apostle Paul says. Our works will be tried by fire. They will be tested. And Paul says that they've been done in the energy of the flesh. They will be as wood and hay and stubble, and they will be consumed by the fire. But if they have been done in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God, they will be as gold and silver and precious stone. And we know that fire refines all three of those things. And so the issue here is not that I try to make my brother or my sister a better Christian by going around and looking in their lives and picking out those flaws and saying, you know, you need to get better here. You need to change this. You need to do away with this. You need to do away with that. The issue here is, first and foremost, are you, as I say, a blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again child of God? Has Christ come into your life? Has Christ saved you? Has Christ forgiven you? There are a number of judgments in the Scripture. There's the judgment of the Gentile nations. There's the judgments of the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation. There is the judgment, as I just mentioned, of our own works as a child of God. And there is the judgment at the cross of Christ in regard to our salvation. You and I have been given, according to the Scriptures, a wonderful, wonderful gift. We have the power of words that God has given to us. And Proverbs reminds us, as Solomon is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that words fitly spoken are like apples of gold. And so there is a time, beloved of God, when we edify and we encourage and we build up our brother and sister in Christ and we exhort our brother and sister in Christ. But God has not called us to walk around and try to get specks out of people's eyes. If you'll check the bottom of your feet, I think you'll notice that you have feet of clay. All of us do. Therefore, we all flawed somewhere. Remember what I said to you last Sunday morning? What did I say to you? In the very beginning of the message, I said I was a work in, and I reminded you that you were a work in progress. He's still working on me. And I pray that you are allowing Him to still work in your heart and in your life this morning. You see, when you become God-centered and Christ-focused and Holy Spirit-led, you're not going to have your eyes on individuals and the flaws in their character or the flaws in their Christian life. You're going to have your eyes and your heart centered and focused on God the Father and God the Son, and empowered and energized and led by God the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you do not want to tear down this brother or this sister. You want to build them up. You want to strengthen them. You want to encourage them. You want to edify them. You want to exhort them. I can hear my wife across the years telling our two children, bloom where God has planted you. Every year when they would go back to school, this is your one opportunity to go through the seventh grade. What she meant by that was, you're not going to fail the seventh grade. But this is your one opportunity to go through the seventh grade. Bloom this year in the seventh grade. And she would do everything she could to encourage Joni and John in each grade through school. Now, if you look around long enough, you're going to find plenty of flaws in your pastor. You see, when we begin to look down here rather than there, be careful what you say. Why? Because what you say is going to come back home. This passage is teaching you the way you judge somebody else is the way you're going to be judged. So be careful what you say. Are you listening? You see, words fitly spoken are like apples of gold. Proverbs also says, as Solomon's writing under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, that you and I have within this tongue the power of life and death. We speak life into people or we speak death into people. Death comes in many forms. Death can come as discouragement, defeat, despondency, depression. Death comes in many avenues in the life of believers. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we contribute to that because our focus is here rather than there. Be careful what you say. James says the tongue is an unruly member. You can put a bridle in a horse's mouth and you can direct where he's going, but the tongue no man can tame. Ooh. That means that I have to surrender my tongue to the Lord every day. If not, I'm going to mumble something going down the road when that guy cuts me off. Hello? I'm going to say something when that individual doesn't exactly treat me right. I'm going to think something. I may as well say it. It's in my heart. It's the same as being said. Be careful what you say. Next slide, please. Oh, isn't that cute? You ever kissed a pig? I have. I grew up on the farm, and we kissed all animals. I had a pig named Pug. He was a Berkshire. He had a pug nose. His nose was turned up like that. I have pictures of my arm around his neck with my hunting hat sitting on his head and him just standing there with me kneeled down by the side of him just laying over and loving Pug. Pug and I had a wonderful relationship. But Pug went to an untimely death. You ever kissed a dog? Now, I watched some people, and my father had hunting dogs, and I had bird dogs, and I had beagles, and I've kissed a dog. Characteristics of dogs and swine. What is it about dogs that Jesus spoke about? What is it that the Scripture warns us about dogs? Not to be like dogs. Dogs have an uncanny ability. They're unlike any other animal. They will return, and I even have a hard time saying this morning. Roma's shaking her head. But dogs will return to where they have just gurgitated. No child of God needs to go back to that which God has gotten rid of out of their life. Hello? What do pigs like to do? Boy, they love to wallow, don't they? They are swine. They are created to wallow. That's their very nature. They love to wallow in mud. And they love to root. Did you know you can take a domesticated hog and within 5 weeks, if you turn it loose in the wild, their snoot will grow an average of 3.5 to 5 inches. They will grow tusks at least this long in about 5 weeks' time. Domesticated hogs will turn wild by their nature within 5 weeks. How long does it take some of us to drift away from God and act like dogs? I hear some Christians sometimes talking about some things that are just regurgitating, y'all. It's sickening. Roma and I are getting to the age, I hope more of you are getting to the same age, where when this junk, this garbage that comes on television, it seems that nothing is sacred anymore, even on the news. And you never know what's coming on next, and she'll be indicating, turn that off, I don't want to listen to it. I said, baby, I'm trying to find the mute button right now. I don't want to listen to it either. Dogs and swine. Next slide, please. Prayer. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh does what? Say it. Leon said something about prayer this morning. He read you something out of Psalms. What did he say? God answers prayer. I want you to know that God has been answering some prayers in this congregation, church. And I want you to know some people are beginning to take notice. And I want you to know some people are calling me and saying to me, Pastor, we need your prayers and the prayers of our church family for this that is happening and for this that is taking place. And even as late as Friday night, I received a call from one of our faithful, loving members. God said, Jesus said, ask, and you might receive. If conditions are right, if it suits me, I am sick and tired. Listen to me. I'm sick and tired of this false teaching on the subject of prayer, church. I want you to know that I serve a God that answers prayer and will honor His Word. And if He doesn't honor His Word, then our salvation is suspect. Do you hear me this morning? Do you hear me? You shall receive. God has your best interest at heart. God knows what's going on in your life, in your home, and in your family. But He said for you to ask. When Daniel prayed, his prayer was hindered. But God said, from the moment you prayed, Daniel, I heard your prayer. But the demons of hell and the devil himself sought to hinder the answer coming to your prayer, Daniel. But I want you to know, from the moment you prayed, I heard your prayer. Church, don't let Satan rob you of the authority of God's Word. Begin to stand on it just as you do for your salvation. Begin to act on it just as you do for your salvation. Begin to believe that it is inerrant, it is infallible, it is truth without mixture of error. It will not return void. It will accomplish that which He sends it forth to do. It will bring forth that which is pleasing unto Him. It will bring kingdom significance into your life and my life. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock. Knock. Are you serious? Are you really serious? Then knock. Knock. Because God's going to give you an answer. He's going to give you an answer. Jesus gives the example there in verses 9 and 10 and 11. And He says, if a son asks for bread, he's not going to be given a stone. If he asks for fish, he's not going to be given a serpent. If a father loves his son, he's not going to give him a stone. If he asks bread, he's not going to give him a serpent. If he asks for a fish, how much more will your heavenly Father give you those things that you need? Matthew 6:33, say it with me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that Pastor John has just been talking about will be added unto you. Next slide, please. Check your vertical and horizontal relationship. How do you relate to others? How do you respond to others? This kind of goes back to the first section that we talked about in verses 1 through 5 on judging. What is your vertical relationship like this morning? I wish, and somehow I want to show the slides that Naomi had for us last Sunday that we weren't able to show to you. But when your vertical relationship with God is right, then your horizontal relationship, and you see me tell you that often, and I know I do that often, but I want you to remember your vertical relationship and your horizontal relationship. You see, when your vertical relationship is right, then you're going to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How do you want to be treated? You want people to smile at you, then smile back. You want people to love you, love them. You want people to be your friend, be a friend. You want people to encourage you, encourage them. It may not come back from that person, but I promise you, when you start doing it, I promise you it'll come to you. I promise you God will put somebody in your life to be an encourager to you, to be a strength to you, church, to be a source of help to you. Next slide, please. Two ways. Yep, your choice. Yep, your choice. I tried to make this sermon a little practical this morning. Life application sermon. Yep, it's your choice. Many things bring us to the fork in the road, but it's your choice as to which direction you're going to take. Nobody's there to force you. Nobody's there to twist your arm. Many things bring us to the fork in the road. It's your choice. What choice do you make? Maybe some of the things that you and I deal with in life are a result of some not too very smart choices. We've not been quite as prudent as we should have been. You see, serving Christ, living for Christ, following Christ is narrow. And people are going to make fun of you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to criticize you. They're going to find all kind of fault with you. He said, they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. But he said, have no fear. I have overcome the world. Hello? They're going to find fault with you. They're going to call you things. They're going to name you. They're going to label you. They labeled him. They persecuted him. They smote him, talked about him, criticized him. And most of the ones that did it was the religious crowd. It wasn't the pagans out there as much as it was the religious crowd. When he wintered the grain on the Sabbath, they criticized him. When he fed the 5,000, they criticized him. When he fed the 4,000, they criticized him. I want to tell you all something this morning. This pastor would rather go down doing something right and be criticized for it than to go down wrong and be criticized for it. Stand. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for nothing. Hello, that's not a cliche. That's pretty accurate. If you don't decide to stand this morning, listen to me, you're going to fall. And when you fall, you'll fall for nothing that has no value and nothing of eternal significance. But it'll have eternal consequences in your life. Next slide, please. Spiritual wisdom, insight, discernment, and understanding. Look at those verses again with me, verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets. You're going to have them. They're going to be around. I met someone, and I say this tongue in cheek, I met someone that came here. There was about five winds of doctrine when I came to this church as your pastor. That's why, if you remember, I said to you that Sunday morning when I handed out to you that sheet, these are the things that I'm going to teach and these are the things that I'm going to preach. You see, the issue here is heresy, error within the body of Christ, because heresy and error within the body of Christ becomes an idol. You remember me preaching about the idols last Sunday? You see, the moment we move off of the center of being God-focused, God-centered, Christ-focused, and Holy Spirit-led, the moment we move off of that center, we move into idolatry. And when we move into idolatry, heresy and error are the product. Did you know that? Did you realize that? In my very first church in Waldorf, I tell you, I've been blessed with some wonderful deacons across the years. God has given me some wonderful men to work with. And along the way, he has raised up some good ones for me to work with. But when I first went to the first church, my first church in Waldorf, there was a man in that church. He invited Rome and I to go out to eat that Sunday morning, and we did. And then his wife said, no, let's eat at home, and she hadn't really prepared. So he and I got in the car to go downtown in Waldorf to get some food. And on the way, we was going downtown to Waldorf to get some food and come back out to the house to eat. And he was just talking away. And he's a good man. Now, don't misunderstand me, a good man. And he said, preacher, He said, I don't care if a man worships that fence post out there. I said, ooh. And he was a teacher of the men's Sunday school class in that church. That's error, brothers and sisters. That's heresy. And it leads to false doctrine. And it leads to destruction. There is only one person to be worshipped, and his name is Jehovah God, and him only. You don't worship him and something else. You worship him alone. Him alone. Nothing nor no one else. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. The average person in that congregation would have said that's one of the finest men in this church. He was. He was a good man. He was a good family man. A good worker. A preacher, I don't care what he worships, if he worships that fence post over there. Now, if he would say that to me, he said it in a Sunday school class. And the reason I know he did is because not too long later, someone came to me and said, let me tell you what your teacher said in Sunday school class. Beloved of God, listen to me this morning. Beware of false prophets. Not everybody that speaks the truth speaks the whole truth. Listen to me this morning. Not everybody, they combine Jesus and something else or someone else. They combine Jesus in some other way. He is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It's not Jesus plus anything else. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Spiritual wisdom, insight, discernment, and understanding. So much so that Jesus would say, now you know that a good tree can't produce evil fruit, and an evil tree can't produce good fruit. You see, something's missing in a person's life when they began to add anything. It's not, listen to me, it's not grace plus the law. It's not grace plus a checklist that I determine that I'm good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's grace, period. For by grace I am saved, through faith, and that not of me. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I had nothing to do with my salvation. It is Christ and Christ alone. And listen to me, you've got some in your families, you know it. You know it. They'll start talking to you in a conversation, talking about the church, talking about the Bible, talking about the Lord, and you listen and you'll begin to hear Christ plus something. My friend, listen to me this morning. It is Christ and Christ alone. Christ plus nothing. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews says, there is no remission of sin. That includes the Lord's Supper. That includes baptism. That includes good works. By the fruit, you'll know them. You see, what do you believe this morning? Have you got it nailed down? Are you settled on the truth of the Scripture this morning and what you believe? Do you understand that it is Christ plus nothing? Do you understand when He said on the cross, it is finished, it was finished? There's nothing you and I can add to it and nothing we can take away from it. And the moment we try to add something or the moment we try to take something away from it and include something else in its place, you understand we have moved into idolatry, and idolatry leads to error and heresy. So where is your salvation settled this morning? You see, it's not the blood of Christ plus baptism. It's not the blood of Christ plus the Lord's Supper. And no offense. No offense. without the shedding of blood. There is no remission of sin, period. I didn't say that. God said it. Next slide, please. Well, your profession must match your confession. Look at verse 21 and 23 quickly. I think these are some of the saddest verses in Scripture to me. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things. Now, look up here and don't miss what Pastor John is about to say. Please don't miss what I'm about to say at this point. I want you to know that God honors His word even through a donkey. You remember Balaam's donkey? Now, the donkey wasn't no more saved than the man in the moon saved, and the it and the man in the moon. So the donkey wasn't saved, okay? God didn't provide salvation for donkeys. But God chose to use Balaam's donkey to speak His word to Balaam the prophet. So the point I make from that is God honors His word, period. Even if it's through a wicked king like King Nebuchadnezzar. God honors His word. It's not the man. Get your eyes off of Johnny Muller. I mean that. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Keep your eyes focused on God the Father and Him alone. Keep your eyes focused on the inerrant, infallible Word of God that is truth without any mixture of error. Keep your eyes on God. God will honor His Word. Even spoken through a lost person, God will honor His Word. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've done these wonderful things. We've cast out devils. We've healed the sick. It doesn't hurt. I don't know about Monday when they take it off and they start bending those fingers. Lord, Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord. You can acknowledge Him as Lord and not even be saved. Did you know that? Just because you say the word doesn't mean that your heart's been transformed. Did you hear me? You see, the problem with the church in America today is we know too many religious words and sayings and phrases and cliches. And sometimes we start witnessing to people. Sometimes we start sharing the gospel with people. Sometimes we start sharing the word with them. They know exactly the right words to say to just convince us that they're God's child. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Y'all, that's sad. That's sad that you could be sitting in Dutch Fork Baptist Church on Sunday morning and be lost as lost could be. Just because you read the Scripture, just because you pray, just because God has honored His Word through your life, does not make you a child of God. What makes you a child of God is when you recognize your lostness, you understand your sinfulness has separated you from God and from His love. You willingly, of your own free will and choice, turn from that sin and repent of it and confess the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you and to wash your sins out of your life. And to bury them in His sea of forgetfulness and to blot them out as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you again. That's what saves you. That's what makes you a child of God. That's how you're born into the family of God, never to be separated out of that family ever again. Religion is one of the most deceptive tools that Satan is using today. And there are people sitting in the pews in Baptist churches all across this nation and other churches alike that are going through some liturgy. They're going through some form or some creed or some motion, and they think that they have salvation because of that liturgy, that creed, that prayer. My friend, profession must match confession. Next slide, please. Your life. I've heard many wonderful messages off of this text of Scripture across the years by great men of God on the home, on the family. But I want you to understand, when Jesus talks here, he's talking about the house that God lives in. He's talking about this body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit that has been purchased with the price of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying to you and I, take heed how you build your life. If you build it upon the sand of time, when the storms come and the winds blow and all that the enemy can do to bring against you, it will fail, it will fall, and the destruction of it will be phenomenal. But if it's built upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the question that Jesus asked the disciples in Matthew chapter 16? And then he turned and he looked at Peter and he said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed that to you. You know why? It was so important that Peter have his confession matched up with his confession. Because he was the one that the Lord was going to call to be the preacher at Pentecost when 3,000 individuals were going to come and give their heart and their life and trust Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. He was the one that the Holy Spirit was going to anoint with power, and the early church, which you and I are a continuation of the book of Acts. You're building your life this morning. Every day you wake up is a new day that God's given you. You're adding another brick to your life. When people look at your life and my life today, what kind of example of Christ do they see? When they listen to the words that come out of my mouth and your mouth, what kind of example of Christ do they hear? The final verses of this text, verse 28 and 29, when he had ended these sayings, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the few sermons, it is the longest, but it is one of the few sermons that Jesus preached. Some were very short, just a couple of verses in length. But I want you to notice something. His words were with such power and with such authority that it was no longer as if a man were teaching a man. Verse 29 says, for he taught them as one having authority. I want to say something to you this morning. If you're a blood-washed, blood-bought child of God, I want you to listen carefully now. Listen. You can teach two ways. God forgive that we teach this way. You can teach from your intellect. Jesus was a very smart individual. He was God incarnate in human flesh. In fact, John says, if all of the things that he said and done were written, even the libraries of the world, the world itself could not contain all the books. He was the most learned because he was God incarnate. So he had all of the information. He had all of the intellect. He had all of the mind. God forbid that I ever stand in this pulpit and preach and teach to you all from my mind what I know, what I've read, and what I've learned, and in my mind. And it's because I have learned it and I have studied it. And so often in our Sunday school classes, so often in our teaching sessions, even can happen in our grow classes if we're not careful. So often it can happen. We'll end up teaching from our mind and from our intellect without the authority and the power of God Almighty and His anointing on that word. Church, that word then will fall upon the ears of people, and all it will do is make them a little smarter. it will not be transformational in their life and in their heart. He taught them as one having authority. Whose authority did he have? God the Father. I do only what he says do. I go only where he says go. I say nothing unless he tells me to say it. Ooh. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Pretty strong, isn't it? Let me ask you a question this morning. When you have the opportunity to witness, do you ask God for his anointing on you? When you ask God for the opportunity to teach, and he gives you that opportunity to teach, do you ask him for his anointing on you? When you pray, God, I want your anointing on me. God, I want your power on me. Because if it's not, it's just words. And it won't have power to blow the fuzz off of a peach in Lexington County. He taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. The scribes were the learned individuals. They were transmitters of the scripture. They wrote it. They wrote it, book after book after book after book after book. They even knew the story of Jesus' birth and where he was going to be born, but they weren't anointed. They did not have the authority of God on them. They could have gone and visited Jesus. Do you see the difference in teaching as a scribe and as one with authority? So let me ask you a question this morning. When God gives you the opportunity to pour your life into somebody else, the danger is you and I will get caught up in ourselves. Pastor Johnny has to guard that. We'll get caught up into what we know, what we've learned, what we've studied, and we'll teach as a scribe rather than one with authority. Kingdom aspirations. God, I want to aspire to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness in my life. Because you made an unconditional promise to me that if I did, all things would be added unto me. Would you bow your heads with me, please?